Blog Talk Radio.
Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us rejoice and praise his name together. Truly, I am so excited about the Lord and excited about all that he is doing in and through the lives of his people. And I am so excited that you have joined me on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to bless you. Yes, you, you and you. We are gathered here into that wonderful name of Jesus, which I so greatly love and excited about what he's going to do in and through our lives as we gather here on today. I want to invite you to go with me over to the first chapter of Thessalonians. In chapter number 5 is where we're going to be talking from or sharing our lesson on today. And our theme for our lesson and our title is the RPT, the RPT for the child of God. And that is the rejoice, pray, and be thankful is what we are going to be talking about. And so we're going to look at the entirety of the First Thessalonians chapter number 5. We're going to look at that particular book because it talks about the coming, the suddenness of the coming of Christ. And also it talks about some of the things that is going to be taking place during that time. And I want to read it in your hearing in this totality up into verses number 19. It says, but of the time and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that that day of the Lord should come as a thief in the night. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourself, brother, together, edifying one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in the love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, and support the weak. Be patient towards all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And so here we find the scripture that I just read was come from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and we read it in the totality, the entire chapter. And the reason why I read the entire chapter is because we wanted to get a clear understanding of what was going on for Apostle Paul and what he was writing unto the church. We must recognize, children of God, that where we sit is very, very key for us, even as the scripture has stated. And as we go back and look at it, it said, but of the time and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. And for yourself, know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And so here, Paul is admonishing and warning and telling people about what the day of the Lord is going to look like. And he said it's going to be as the day the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And so it further talks about, be ye children, but ye children are not in darkness. And so here Paul's saying, now I want you to know, first of all, you're not in darkness. It's not as though that you don't know and you will not know, because I am sharing with you and I'm teaching you and I'm admonishing you what are some of the things that will be transpiring in that day and around that time. And so we as the children of God, we must recognize that we are not children of darkness, that we are in the light, and God is going to let us know. It said, we are not of the night nor of darkness. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. And so here Paul is beginning to tell the church, don't be sleeping. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open and continue to be in tune with the Spirit of the Lord. How do we be in tune with the Spirit of the Lord? Through prayer, through walking in the Spirit and in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As we are praying and as we are talking to God throughout our day and as we begin our day and even as we end our day, he said, let us watch and be sober. And so it's not saying that we should be paranoid or we should have this thing over our head or anything. No, he just said, I want you to watch. And I want you to be sober. I don't want you to get intoxicated with the cares of this world, number one. I don't want you to get intoxicated even with your trials or your tribulations or situations or life in which it has dealt you during this particular season and time or any time. And things don't get so caught up in that, of what is going on right now, that it consume you. Now, when you think in terms of something that is intoxicating you, when it intoxicates you, you have lost your sense of being, your sense of being able to rational think or to see things through or to make even a sound decision. It's something that has nullified you to the effect of things that is happening around you, has put you in some type of an enforced state where you cannot make sound decision. Many times people who are up under the intoxication of alcohol or other substance and things, they don't even remember what has happened or what has transpired and things, or what has even affected those that while they was up under the influences of those substances. But what God is saying here, Paul is saying through Paul, he is saying, don't get intoxicated in things with your situation where it nullifies your ability to get in contact with God or lose your spiritual equilibrium so that you cannot really rationally see what God is doing, understand what is going on and transpiring even in your life right now. He said, stay sober and watch. And watch for opportunities to see God's hand. Watch for opportunities to be able to witness or to share with someone, to reconcile someone back unto Christ and to give someone hope in a hopeless situation. Watch for opportunities in which God can use you even in the midst of your trials, even in the midst of your tribulation. God is still yet is going to use you as we remain sober, even in the midst of all of the chaos and craziness. Now, they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Now, after being sober, it's saying, okay, God, I'm staying focused. I'm staying focused on you. And so even every day when we wake up, we have to say, God, I'm staying focused on you and your word and your plan for my life today, living holy, living righteous, putting a difference between clean and unclean and not touching the unclean things and walking upright and holy before the Lord our God and keeping our minds sober. He said, now I want you to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, we all know that even in Ephesians, Paul admonishes to put on the breastplate of righteousness. But here he is saying, I want you to take your faith, and I want you to use your faith as a breastplate where it can deflect off all doubt and all unbelief, all unhopelessness situation. But I want you to take that breastplate of faith and put it on you. And not only to put it on you, but also the hope of salvation, which is the helmet to put upon your head, that it may keep your thoughts and keep your mind when you're going through trials and tribulation. It's going to keep your mind focused in on the Lord Jesus Christ himself as you're going through every test, trial, or tribulation. And so here he's saying, first of all, don't sleep. Then he said, I want you to watch. I want you to be sober. And then not only be watching and sober, but I want you to put on the breastplate of faith and love. And then also, I want you to put on the helmet of deliverance. Now, when you look at the word salvation, the hope of deliverance, it means salvation means deliverance. So every day you're putting on that helmet of deliverance, the hope of deliverance, hope of being delivered from that situation, the hope of being delivered from that test or that trial, or your children or your finance or your health or whatever the case may be. I am hoping and I'm believing God for deliverance. So here God is sharing him through Apostle Paul how that we should take a stance, or how that we should operate or even live in days when it's very trying. He said, put the hope of salvation upon your head. He said, now take on the breastplate of faith and love. And that's how we're going to guard ourselves as we stand forth, even in these trying times. He said, for the God have not appointed unto us wrath, but to attain salvation by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we must recognize God is not mad at you. And he also said in the scripture that whom he loved, he will chasten. Now, he may be chastening you and things are getting you back into the place where he's called you to be, but he's not mad at you. He said that here, for God hath not appointed unto us wrath, but to obtain deliverance by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And so here he is saying, whether you're giving your eyes to slumber, or if you're alive, or those that have gone on before us in the Lord, whether you sleep or alive, he's saying we're all going to live together with him. He said, wherefore, comfort yourself together and edify one another, even so as ye do. And so here he's saying, now while you come together, while you're on the phone, while you're talking, edify one another, Keep building one another up. Keep admonishing each other and building each other up, even in their most holy faith. In spite of what you see going on, in spite of the direction that they're going in, keep building them towards God and the things of God through the words that you speak, and speaking blessings upon their life, and speaking what God want for their life, in their life, and God will lead them through those words that have been spoken over their life and in their life. And it says here, it says, to esteem them verily, it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. It said, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And so here he's saying, those that I have placed over you, I want you to esteem them highly for their work's sake, because they're working and they're moving and they are going before you to prepare food, prepare the blessings, and prepare the thing that it can build up the body of Christ. I want you to highly esteem them. That's what the scripture said, and to love them for their work's sake, and say, and be at peace among yourselves. And so here Apostle Paul is teaching the church what to do, how to carry themselves. He said, put on that helmet, put on your breastplate of faith and love, and then the hope of salvation. And then also I want you to know that I have obtained salvation for you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us. And then he said, whether we are awake or asleep, he said, we all shall live together in him at that appointed time. He said, I want you to comfort yourself. I want you to comfort one another, and even yourself together, and then also edify one another. And as you do this, I want you to continue to build up and to esteem those that are standing there on the wall on your behalf, and esteem them highly. And so, and then he said, now we exhort you, brethren, and warn them that are unruly. I want, and to comfort the feeble mind. And so here he began to give some instruction to the body of Christ of what to do. He began to instruct them after saying, I want you to exhort them and to warn the brethren, to warn those who are being unruly. And so those that are even right in the house of God that are being unruly, Paul said, I want you to warn them. And then I want you to comfort the feeble-minded ones and to support the weak, and to be patient towards all men, because God is still yet at work in all of us and doing a great and a mighty work in and through the lives of the people of God. Now, let's look further. It said, see that you render, that none render evil for evil unto any man. He said, I want you to forever follow that which is good, and both among you and all men. And so Paul said, this is what the children of God should be doing. They should not render evil for evil. If someone have done and treated you evil, you know, don't go back and treat them evil because of how they have treated you evil. Pray for them. Pray that God will help them. Pray that God will undergird them and enlighten them and give them understanding so that they can be greatly, greatly blessed. And then he goes on to say, I want you to rejoice evermore. Now, this is the first letter, R, is to rejoice. The Paul said here, rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing in everything and give thanks unto God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so here these RPT is very vital for the children of God, because as we begin to engage in rejoicing and prayer and being thankful in all things, this is what will sustain the child of God. And this is what sustained Apostle Paul when he was going through all of his tests and all of the trials that he was going through. It was through his ability to rejoice in the midst of it all. And so here the scripture over in Philippians 3:1 said, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord, and to write the same thing to you, to me, indeed, is not grievance, but for you, it is safe. And so here Paul was admonishing again. Here is the secret. Rejoice. Continue to rejoice. And then Philippians 4:4, it said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so Paul began to admonish the church and tell the church that it's going to be key that you rejoice and lift up the Lord and praise him in the midst of everything that you're going through. The element of rejoicing is vital as we move forward in the things of God. Now, over in 1 Peter chapter number 4, verses 12 through 13, it said, "Beloved, I think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happen unto you. But I want you to rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partaker of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall appear and be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy." And so here Paul was saying, I want you to not think of it strange when you find yourself in a fiery test or trial, which comes to try you. And don't think of it as some strange thing that is happening unto you. But this is what I want you to do when you find yourself in the middle of a fiery test or a fiery trial or strange things that are happening. I want you to rejoice. And I want you to be exceedingly glad. And I want you to begin to start praising and giving God the praise, glory, and honor that's due unto him. He said, inasmuch as you are partaker of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And so here, as you are partaking with Christ's suffering, he's saying there's going to be some glory that's going to be revealed. I'm getting ready to show you something in the midst of my trial and your testing that is taking place right now. And I don't want you to miss it by being intoxicated by the trial or the tribulation you're going through. There is some glory in that mess that it seems like, God, why in the world I'm going through this? What in the world this is happening to me? I can't understand why and what. No, God said, Paul said, don't do that. Paul said, don't do that. Paul is saying, no. It's no time for you to get and be succumb to the testing and the trial that is taking place to you on you right now. But what I want you to do, I want you to rejoice so that you won't miss the glory. Oh, someone tell somebody, don't miss the glory. Don't miss the glory. Don't miss the glory. In that situation that you're going through, there is some glory. There is going to be a manifestation of God's splendor and God's blessing in your life if you will begin to be sober and watching for the glory that God is trying to reveal unto you in every one of our tests, in every one of our trials, in every one of our life situation. God is teaching us about a facet about him, whether he's telling us about him being the Almighty God, or he's teaching us that he is the way, the truth, or the life, or he's teaching us that he is the bread of life, or he's teaching us that he's our good shepherd, our great shepherd, or he's teaching us that he is our vine in which we can get the substance and the sap from the Holy Ghost and life from him and through him. He is constantly teaching us something about the glory of the Lord that's going to be revealed unto the people of God. Oh, child of God, hear the Spirit of the Lord. God is trying to get something to you and through you, and you must rejoice and be exceedingly glad about what God is doing, not your test, not your trial, but what God is going to bring forth out of it. Oh, child of God, child of God. And so here he went on to say, as another aspect that we must begin to do is to pray without ceasing, the P. As we recognize, we do know that prayer is communing directly unto God. I like to think that prayer is also a time where God is able to sharpen our giftings, our talents, and our tools and the things that he's given unto us, allowing us to be acutely aware of his voice. When we're in prayer, he begins to reveal unto us and our spirit, his heart and his mind unto us, and even the direction of the adversary that is coming up against our own very soul. In prayer, he will reveal it unto us. as the children of God. And so we cannot, in the midst of our life, stop praying. That's communicating directly unto God. And God want to keep the mouth of his church open so he can communicate and he can commune with you as a child of God. And then he said, finally, I want you to be thankful. Don't thank me because of the trial and the tribulation you're going through and things, but be thankful in it. Yeah? And when you begin to stop and start thinking about all of the wonderful things that God has done and is doing in and through your life and things, that in itself can be overwhelmingly taking you to another level because you are rejoicing in the Lord and in the power of his might of what God is doing in your life. When you start looking around and begin to see all of the multitude blessings that God has bestowed upon your life and begin to recognize, look, I don't care what I'm going through, God's been good to me. He's been good to my family. He's been good to my children. He's been good to my children's children. And I have no complaint, but nothing but a spirit of thanksgiving in my heart and in my mind because God has been good to us. Maybe we may not have everything that we want, but still yet, God has been good unto us. It may not look like what I wanted to look at right now, but I come to serve notice unto someone. God still yet been good to you. God still yet been making a way out of no way. God still yet keeping you by his power divine. He's still yet providing in the midst of your dilemma. He's still yet protecting. He still yet is being the arm of our strength. He still yet is being the Jehovah Jireh, the our Alpha and our Omega, the beginning and the end. He's still yet God sitting on his throne and still yet in control. He is still yet God. And so when we begin to think about the RPT, that's what in every situation, every day, God said, just keep rejoicing, keep praying, keep thanking me, keep giving me the glory and giving me the honor. And if you continue to stay that, it's something about keeping your spirit alive with God and well with the Lord. In the midst of every dilemma, God is able to see us through every one of our dilemma. And we as the children of God, as we keep that attitude and keeping a right attitude before the Lord, it said, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it said, therefore have no temptation taking you, but such as it is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And so here Paul is saying that, look, there's no temptation that is taking you such as common unto man. He said, but even in the middle of all the temptation, the things that are tempting you right now, he said, but God is faithful. And so what we have to sometimes stop and begin to speak to our circumstances and situation and say, you know what? I don't care what I'm looking at and facing right now. God's still faithful. God is still yet faithful. And he will not suffer me to be tempted above more than I'm able. And with it, that same temptation, God is also able to make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And so God is saying, you can bear this thing because I've made a way of escape and I am a faithful God and I didn't bring you in and not to only to leave you there, but I'll bring you in and bring you out. And so we must begin to recognize that these are the things that God wants us to operate even in our life, rejoicing, praying, being thankful unto the Lord our God, and watching God move down in our being. And then it goes on and says, Philippians 4:8 said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, I want you to think on these things. So here Paul give us 8 things to think about. Things that are true, things that are honest, and things that are just, and things that are pure, and things that are lovely and have good report and virtuous things and praiseworthy things. And so when you find yourself trying and your thoughts are trying to overtake you and spiral you down because of your situation and where you're at right now, you got to raise your thoughts up and begin to think on those things that are true. And think, and what is true? God is true. And think, what is lovely? God is lovely. What is trustworthy? God is trustworthy. And think, and begin to raise and elevate your thought to the things that you know that are a surety. Even when everything else is fleeing away, God is still yet the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changes not. And so if you can't find nothing lovely in the situation, you can still yet find a lovely God. If you can't find anything true in the situation, you can still yet find a true God. If you can't find nothing pure in what you're going through right now, you can still yet look beyond that and see the purity of your God. If you can't find no virtue out of it, you can still yet look unto your God and find all the virtue and the strength that you need, and all of the trustworthiness that you need can be found in the God in which you serve. His name is Jesus. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He's the first and the last. Yes, he is, and he's able to do all things but fail. And then Paul began to say another aspect of it. He also said that us, that we must be content and learning how to be content in whatsoever place and way we find ourselves. And so the scripture says here that Paul said that in his mind, he said, not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And I want you to know the power of living in contentment and being able to be contented with the things that have been given unto you by God is one of the greatest places to reside in that spirit of peace and contentment and things. It is life-giving. It's able to fortify you and to strengthen you. And then finally, and things, we must trust God in spite of what we go through, in spite of what we see. Even on the mountaintop, we must trust God. Even in the valley, we must trust God. And even in the height of our accomplishments, we must still yet trust our God. And so here it said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And finally, as we be content and satisfied through learning how to trust God, God will continually and forever bless and fortify and strengthen us as the children of God as never before. And so in my conclusion, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses number 16, it said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Pray, again, I say, pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so if you're seeking for the will of God, his will is that you will rejoice. His will is that you will pray. His will is that you will be thankful and have a thankful heart, mind, and soul. No matter where you find yourself, thank God I still got a roof over my head. I still got clothes on my back. I'm still yet in the land of the living. God, and I thank you for all of your multiplicity and multiple blessings that you have bestowed upon our life. If we can always stay and live in that place, God said, that is my true will for the children of God in Christ Jesus, and that you will rejoice, pray, and be thankful. And so, child of God, even as we close out on another glorious, glorious lesson, I pray that you will forever be blessed, that forever your day will always be residing in the will of God, that is rejoicing, praying, and being thankful unto your God. And watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way because you dare to have a mind and a heart to do his blessed will. And so, child of God, I come to you on today, and I admonish you as we close this lesson on today that no matter what you find going on, there's some glory in that mess. There's some glory in your situation and circumstances. Watch God and be sober in your mind, and don't become intoxicated with the situation that you find yourself in, but continue to rejoice, continue to pray, and to continue to give thanksgiving and praise unto God and watch him do it on your behalf. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful lesson on today. We thank you, dear God, for even you sharing with us your will. Your will is for us to rejoice, to pray, and to be thankful. And Father, we thank you. Let us always live within that realm every day of our life. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name no matter where we find ourselves. Let us keep a praise. No matter what's going on, let us keep a thanksgiving. And let us always, forever be in communion with you. And Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise, glory, and honor that we may remain awake and sober in our mind and spirit. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, child of God, I thank God for you being with me on today. I'm so excited about what God is doing in and through the life of his people. And so I want you to, even as you closing out on this era and time, that you move forward into another realm higher than where you at right now. It's my prayer for you that you'll forever be blessed and for you ever continue to multiply in the things that God is doing in and through your life. And so as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one prayer away, one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall find. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door, and it shall be opened unto you, according to Matthew 7:7. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, may God bless you. Bye-bye.